Want a great way to recognize your employees? Check out Custom Ink. Have you ever thought about doing something special for your customers? Custom Ink can do that too. And wouldn't your team love some custom gear? Custom Ink is ready. Custom Ink is your go-to custom gear partner with great customer service, quality products, and all-in pricing along with personalized help when you need it and an easy-to-use website when you don't. Plus, everything is 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Check out what we can do for your business at CustomInk.com.
What's going on, everybody? I have to tell you about Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. The best part about it is it's completely free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Welcome in to episode 11 of Fired Up. We are doing something a little different now. We are live on Facebook. We're supposed to be live on YouTube, but that something got fucked up with that. We'll hopefully work on that next week. And we're also live on Twitter. I'm Mike Giletto. Joining me is Dom Console. Dom, what's up, man?
What's going on, man?
Not much. Pretty big moment here.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
It is a little weird. I'm not gonna lie. I see myself on the screen right now. You know, hopefully we get some people in here listening, watching. How you been? How was your 4th of July?
It was good, man. It was a 3-day weekend. It went by a little too quick, though.
Yeah. Nice and eventful. I just came back from a 2-hour car ride from Wildwood.
And I just came back from a 3-hour car ride from New York State yesterday. So
how was that?
It was a lot of fun, man.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome.
Unfortunately, we got to talk Phillies and, you know, that whole mess.
Well, Philly sports in general, but.
Philly sports in general, yeah, but we got to get to the Philly stuff, and we'll get that later. There's a game 4 going on right now. I have it on the screen next to me. Game 4 of the Stanley Cup final. Montreal's up 1-0. We'll get to that maybe a little later. But, yeah, if you're watching, appreciate you watching. You can follow us anywhere at Fired Up Podcast. Listen, subscribe on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. So where do you want to go first? You're going to go Phillies, Dom?
That sounds good to me.
All right. I guess we have to, right?
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So the Phillies announced that they will be officially retiring the number 34 for Roy Halladay, August 8th. I get weirded out with these things with, you know, obviously with the passing and everything. I think that kind of is maybe not the big reason, but like if the plane crash doesn't happen and he doesn't die, like does his number get retired? I'm not sold on that. But what was your take of this, this announcement?
I don't know. I thought it was kind of not weird, but, yeah, I mean, I guess that's kind of how I kind of feel the same way. Like, if he dies, so, you know, sudden and in such a tragic way, are we in this position? Do we retire his number? Because like you got to think about it. As great as he was, like even before he came here, and even when he was here, he wasn't here that long.
It was what, 2 years,
three? Four, I think technically, I think he was here 4, but he only pitched 3 of the 4 years, maybe. So it's right. 10. I think it was 10 to 14.
Yeah, it was.
He was on and off in 13, and then just didn't pitch 14.
Yeah, well, he was here 2010. He started in 33 games. 2011, where was it at?
He was great here.
Oh,
while he was healthy. I mean, he was
3 years. Yeah, he pitched 33 the first year, 32 the second, 25 the third, and then the fourth he pitched 13 games.
Okay, so that's 2010 to 2014.
13.
13. Okay, so yeah,
3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, you know, he put up unbelievable numbers in his first 2 years here. Unfortunately, it was at the end of his career. But when I think of those teams, you know, obviously you do think of Roy Halladay, but like, I one of my favorite pitchers of all time, especially from that era. But I don't know, like, does he deserve to be retired here?
No, because I just don't. I like the thing is I like you remember Roy Halladay as a Toronto Blue Jay. Like you don't remember him as a Philadelphia. Maybe we do because we're local Philly, whatever. But like the major league in general, he's a Blue Jay.
I guess, but yeah, I mean, I remember him more as obviously I remember him as a Blue Jay, but most of his success was here. I mean, his first ever playoff game, he threw the no hitter, right? That was his first career playoff game.
Yeah, I believe so. Was that 2011? Right,
2010.
Ten.
The Reds, yeah. Right. Threw it against the Reds.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah, I just let me go back to the stats again. Granted, he was great in a 2 to 3 year stretch, right? But just the fact that he was only here for 3.5 years, it seemed more of a this team struggling right now. There's nobody really coming to the games anyway. Let's try to put asses in the seats. It felt more like a money grab or a ticket grab almost.
I'm not gonna lie. I actually looked in the tickets.
Did you?
Yeah. I mean, the cheapest are like $30, but you're sitting in a third deck. But right, I definitely looked into it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely our time frame, our what we grew up on. But I mean, he wasn't part of those 08-09 teams when they went to the World Series. But he did some great things here, but I don't know.
He was on the beginning of when things started to kind of go downhill.
Yeah, the beginning of the end.
Right, exactly. So, and then 11 was 11. 11 was the four aces year, right, where they lost to the Cardinals in the first round,
yes.
Right?
Yep.
Yes, part of that year. And then everything kind of went downhill from there.
Yep.
No, so.
I mean, yeah, 2010, they beat the Reds in the first round and then lost to the Giants in the second round. And then in 2012, they lost in the first round. They had, or I'm sorry, 2010 was the Reds and the Giants. 2011 was the St. Louis Cardinals. They had 102 wins, I believe.
Right.
And it was just, the collapse and Howard tore his ACL, I think, or Achilles or something.
It was his Achilles, yeah.
Yeah. So,
and his career as soon as that happened.
That was the beginning of the end.
Right. Oh, so, yeah, as soon as he goes down, you're like, God damn it.
Yeah, yep. Yep. So,
yeah, he did win a Cy Young here in 2010, I could see, and then he was runner-up in 2011. And it was really just those 2 years. I mean, the following year, his ERA skyrocketed to 4.49.
Right.
So it was really just 2 great years from Roy Halladay, and I don't know if that's jersey number retirement, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think like we said, a lot of it was because most of it's because he probably passed away, but I also think they're celebrating him his whole career, how great he was in his whole career. Right. I thought it would be pretty cool if maybe even, Toronto retires his number. Maybe it's when they play Toronto or something. Save it for next year. Maybe both teams do it, and you do it on a weekend.
Who do they play August 8th? I didn't even look at that.
The Mets, I believe.
It is the Mets? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the playing against the Blue Jays, finding a date where you could play against the Blue Jays, I guess would have made it a little more special.
Right.
So I agree with that.
Oh, okay, they already did retire his jersey, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Yep, 32. But yeah, I really do think that it was just a celebration of his whole career and just the guy that he was, and he was probably the best pitcher in that generation. I think, didn't he have like 17 wins for the Phillies?
Just had it up. Hold on. One second.
Yeah, I believe it's somewhere around there.
Hold on. Talk amongst yourselves. I just closed out of it for a second. One second. I know. Listen, I can finally say it live podcast. he won.
Well, we don't edit much, so.
That's true. We really don't edit anything. The first year, he won 21 games in 19 and 11.
Okay.
So his Cy Young year, he went 21 and 10.
And it's funny because you don't see many guys go over that 20. Even in that era, you don't see many guys go over 20 wins.
Right.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't get me wrong. I love the dude. I think he's the best pitcher in that generation, if not, or arguably the best, one of the best. But it's definitely a little strange. I mean, and like I said, I even looked in the tickets. So.
Right. Yeah, so we'll see what happens when that comes. So we can move right along here to keep talking about the Phillies. So a couple weeks ago, you asked the great question of, does this Phillies team only have one All-Star? Turns out they have two. Zach Wheeler and JT Realmuto gets thrown in there as well. What'd you make of these announcements?
I was a little surprised by JT. I'm not surprised by Wheeler. Obviously, we've been talking about him the last couple episodes. I'm a little surprised by JT. Obviously, he started off really hot, but the last couple weeks he's been like bad, like really bad, like right. Brutal. I think he's 19th, if I'm not mistaken, in like just in hitting as a catcher in Major League Baseball. So
right.
Am I surprised? No, but I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, it's probably more of a name thing, right? Like he's been dubbed the best catcher in baseball, or one of the best catchers in baseball, really for the last couple of years. So
yeah, for sure. And you also have to throw in the idea, especially in the NL, there's a lot of mediocre teams right now. There's really no front runner. Especially in the National League, but even in all of baseball. But so maybe that kind of has something to do with it too. Where, yeah, there's really not many guys out there who are we gonna pick? And you know, then you bring up the idea, like you said, you know, the best catcher in baseball, the name. So it definitely a little bit of a surprise, but I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, and Zach Wheeler was a lock, right? Like he's been a lock for really the last couple of weeks here.
Do you actually see that he apparently is in second place for like NL MVP?
Who was that? Wheeler?
Wheeler, yeah.
Again,
it's because like I said, there's nobody. He's behind DeGrom, but
yeah, I was gonna say if pitchers rarely win it. If one does it this year, it's DeGrom. It just is
right.
For
sure. Best, definitely the best pitcher in baseball. But I just thought it's funny because, like you said, pitchers don't win. But you've got two guys right there that are in first and second place in NL MVP race.
Right.
Actually, talking about Wheeler and JT, do you know the last time the Phillies had two players go to the All-Star game?
The last time the Phillies have had two players go to the All-Star game.
And this isn't a part of trivia, by the way.
All right, we're gonna get to that later. Don't you worry. I'm trying to the last time they had, what does it go back to the 2011, 2012,
2013? I think it was 2013. I believe it was.
Probably Utley and probably pitcher, something like that.
No, Dom Brown and Cliff Lee.
Christ. Okay, so I was right with the pitcher. I mean, take your pick, any pitcher ever.
Yep. Now Dom, the way that
remember that whole thing, Dom Brown.
Yeah. Now the way the MLB All-Star game works is there has to be at least be one player from every team.
Right.
So if I don't know a guy from the Mets is having a better season than a guy from the Phillies and the Phillies don't have anybody and the Mets have three players, let's say, that Phillies player is going to go.
Right.
So yeah, the last time they had two players was Dom Brown and Cliff Lee.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's crazy.
There you go. So I'm pulling up Wheeler's stats because Wheeler's been insane. I mean, he's 6-4, but like what we talked about, how inconsistent and how bad this Phillies team's been. But he's got a 2.05 ERA. He's just been great. He leads the league in innings pitched. He leads the league in strikeouts. So he's been really
good. When they signed him, I didn't even think he was going to be this good, to be honest. I thought he was going to be good. I didn't think he was going to be this good.
Oh, he's exceeded my expectations by a mile.
For sure. Now, let me – I don't know if we're going to get into this, but let me ask you this, because this has been the topic of conversation in the Delaware Valley. A lot of, like, trade talks recently about just anybody. Zach Wheeler, the name Zach Wheeler's been thrown around. Aaron Nola's been thrown around. The only two guys that you don't really see are Harper and JT because they just re-signed JT, and we know the deal about Harper, you know, the contract with Harper. But Yeah, I think it's absolutely crazy how, like, now, everybody knows my stance on the Phillies these last couple weeks, but, like, we're just gonna give up, like, even for the future, even for next year. Like, are we really that, like, that down on them? They almost made the playoffs last year, and I've been Debbie Downer the last couple weeks on them, but, like, we're really just gonna give everybody, like, their problem isn't what they have, it's what they don't have, so why not just add to Wheeler and Nola and the rest of this lineup?
Well, I think the issue is that it just kind of feels like the tires are spinning, right? Like, this team should be good. Like, that's a thing that they've, you know, we've talked about it in the past. They've tried to address the bullpen. They have Harper, JT, that, like, they have guys that should be good. They have Reese, who hit or miss, whatever. He's supposed to be a top, 15 first baseman. Like, that's what he was supposed to be. Like, his team's supposed to be competing. So the fact that they just keep spinning their way, they're supposed to have this great manager in Girardi, and that doesn't look like it's working out. So, like,
right, but
they're supposed to compete. So I think that's why fans are saying, let's just strip it down, because clearly what we have isn't working.
Yeah, but what I said last week was you didn't add to the things that you have. Like last week I was talking about how DD, you bring back DD, who's 30 something years old and always hurt, and you don't go out and get a center fielder. You fix the bullpen a little bit, but why can't we keep this team together but also add to it? Like, go get a competent third starting pitcher. Go get a competent closer. Like, just because they almost made the playoffs last year with this roster. Right. So is this year just unfortunate? Like, last year the lineup worked, right? But they needed pitching. This year, they didn't really do much to go get starting pitching, and they kept the same lineup. But the lineup isn't working out. So is it just an unfortunate year where it's just not working out? Maybe that is the reason. And next year they go out and get pitching, and maybe we pick it back up next year.
Yeah, I think people are tired of waiting. Like, I think that's kind of what
I'm first in line, but
yeah.
But I'm not just gonna throw guys away. Like, I'm not just gonna give up Zach Wheeler that I signed to last offseason or two offseasons ago.
They're not trading Wheeler. Like
that's what people are throwing out there.
Christian brings up here, like, trade Segura. I'm perfectly fine with trading Segura. I don't think you're going to trade a guy like Wheeler. But Segura, while his price is high right now, who knows how much time he really has left on this team anyway. Trade Segura. I'm on board with that.
I was, like, a month ago.
You wouldn't anymore?
I don't know. I'm so torn on the fact that, like, if you keep this team together, like, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year, but if you keep this team together, like, and you bring it into next year, I guess it all depends really on Bryson Stott. Like, I if he's going to be ready next year, then would you? Okay, let's pick up a hypothetical. Say Bryson Stott's ready to come up next year and he's average or very good or even great. Do you keep DD and move him to second, or do you keep Segura? Well, who would you rather have?
Segura.
Me too.
Yeah, Segura.
Me too. And he's probably not a very good locker room guy, as we've seen. He's been traded how many times in his career, but, you know, and every year we bring this up where, you know, we got to trade Segura. Every year there's something, you know, in the news with this guy, but
right,
he's a decent baseball player. Like, I'd rather him play second base and hit sixth or seventh in the lineup than Didi, who can't stay healthy, who's 30 something years old, who is a shortstop, is, you know, can't play well defensively. Like, at least Segura brings some defense to this and brings some consistency and actually stays on the field.
Yeah, but if they're not going to really compete anyway, like, they're not going to win a division this year. Who knows if they do it next year? Because, like, the Braves aren't going to suck like this forever.
Well, I'm saying
better. Like, so why not just trade Segura now before he loses value in 2 to 3 years? Because this team probably isn't going to compete in that window anyway.
But I think they can compete next year if they make the right moves. That's what I'm saying.
What are the right moves then?
Well, Dombrowski comes in. He's known to be an aggressive guy. I don't know. Go out and get a center fielder. Go out and get a back end of the arm bullpen guy. Go get two starters.
But why weren't they addressed this year?
I don't know. because last week we talked about, maybe because Klentak's still running the show. Maybe because they thought they were better than what they are. I don't know. I mean, I have issues with that too. But at least Dombrowski, who came in later in the offseason last year, who probably didn't have much time to work with, you know, this roster, maybe he's waiting for this offseason to say, okay, this is what we need to do. We need to bring a center fielder. We need a leadoff hitter. We need a left fielder. Even if they get two of the five things they need, it probably makes them better than they are right now. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I'd imagine so.
I hope so. But
at the end of the day, this team is a 500 team. Like, they're going to lose. They're going to win 4-6, and then they're going to lose 5-7. Like, that's just what they do. They're a 500 team.
I completely agree with you. But I'm not talking about this year. I'm talking about going forward. Next year, let's say hypothetically, next year, they go with Hoskins at first, Segura at second, Stott at short, Bohm at third, and they go out and they get a left fielder, and they get a leadoff center fielder, and they get a back end of the bull. And you don't even have to get you can just get a competent left fielder. Somebody that can hit 25 homers, 20 homers, whatever. It can play, can suck in the field. I don't even care about him playing in the field. But if you go get a competent left fielder, a leadoff center fielder, a back end of the arm bullpen guy, and a starting pitcher, you're only bringing in four guys. One of them doesn't even have to be that good in left field, as long as he can hit the ball.
Right.
You know what I mean? The only value you're bringing in is a closer, a center fielder that can lead off, and another starting pitcher. Because Eflin could be your fourth guy.
Yeah, he can. He's shown some things this year.
And then you bring in a fifth starter who, you know, a Joe Blanton type, you know?
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't know how you can look at, like, the makeup of, and I know you're just talking about going out and buy guys, but I don't know how you can look at the farm team that, you know, is in the minor leagues other than Stott, which he's the number one guy in the Philly system. I don't know what his overall value is across the rest of the MLB.
Right.
But their farm team is not good. Like, their farm system is not good. I don't know how you can possibly say this team has a solid future. I just don't see it.
They don't have a solid future. That's why I'm saying you have to go out and buy guys. You got to go out and make trades. Let's say that when the offseason hits, trade for Trevor Story, put him at shortstop. They definitely, and I see what Christian said, they definitely need a homegrown talent. Yeah. But they don't have that right now. Like, they need to go out and draft in the next 5 years homegrown talent. But do we really want to sit here for another 5 years and be like, well, you know, the Phillies suck. And, like, we've already experienced that for 10 years almost. Like, they definitely need homegrown talent, but they're not good at that. So what are we going to do? Just sit here and hope?
Yeah, sure. But they've historically been bad at it. Like, I could probably name five guys in the last 15 years that have been homegrown that have actually amounted to something. Like, they just don't do it.
I don't disagree, but I like Dombrowski and his aggressiveness with a full off season and a full season right now. Maybe he brings in the talent, but still, like, we're trying to compete now. Like, I don't understand why we're going to give everything up and then have to go through this for another 5+ years, because that's how long it's going to take. Like, I don't know how much longer we can wait.
Yeah.
And that's the unfortunate side of sports, but and the business side.
We're Philadelphia sports fans. We've been waiting a while for a whole bunch of shit, so we're just used to it at this point.
I guess, but it's just, I don't know. I don't, as down as I've been on this team, it's only this year. Last year, they've shown that they can hit the ball. This year, they've shown that they can't pitch, just like last year.
And again, Christian's blowing up our chat here. But it brings up a good point. You know, how come Spencer Howard hasn't progressed, right? He's taking a step backward. The Scott Kingery thing was probably train wreck from day one from giving him that contract, but before he even stepped foot on the field. But they don't produce homegrown talent. It's just been an issue.
I mean, the last three or four guys that were supposed to be these big homegrown talent guys were Mickey Moniak, who still, you know, maybe he could be a left fielder. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mickey Moniak, Spencer Howard, Adam Haseley. Right. Like these are the big guys.
Well, apparently Dylan Cousins was, and now he's going to try out in the NFL. So that really worked out. That really worked out well.
I'm just saying, I don't think they have very, very good. They don't. I'm not saying it as an opinion. It's almost a fact that how bad they are at bringing in.
Oh yeah, it's bad.
They're drafting and they're, you know, the way they add, but that's why I want to add from free agents and trades because they can't draft.
Right.
They hit on one draft pick every 5 years.
Right.
So yeah.
It sucks. Because I just don't see much. I just don't see much future with this team. Like, even with the team that they have, because their cupboard's empty. So you're just gonna have to buy a lot of talent. And with the owner, maybe that's kind of the big issue here is the ownership claims they don't want to spend the money, or they don't want to, you know, go over the luxury tax and things like that. They just don't want to spend the money.
See, but I don't know how much I buy that, even though I've said it the last couple of weeks on the show. You just brought in a guy who's known to do that this offseason, Dombrowski. He's known to be a guy who's aggressive and spends a lot of money to win a championship.
Right.
I mean, that's what he did with the Red Sox. It's what, if you're going to sit here and tell me the owner is terrible with wanting to spend money, then why did he just bring in a guy who can spend money?
That's true. Like, that probably, yeah, you're right. That relationship would be weird. But we have a comment here. What's Hoskins stock looking like nowadays? You guys on board with the talks of moving Boehm to first? That's something you do with trade Hoskins and move Boehm to first?
Not right now. Possibly in the future. But my issue with Boehm is, and again, we've talked about it before, he's, for a third baseman, he's not hitting hard enough. He doesn't hit right. He doesn't pull the ball enough. He doesn't hit enough homers. Look, early in his career, and the way that baseball works is, usually you succeed when you come up, and then you hit a bumpy, rocky road, and then you find a way to bring it, to build it back up. You know what I'm talking about? So you sometimes you start off hot as a young player, then you struggle, then it's up to you how to figure out how to pick that back up. That's what makes great baseball players great. Mike Schmidt came up, he was okay, then he hit a rough spot, and then he became the greatest third baseman of all time. I'm not saying that's Boehm. But he just down. Doesn't. Sorry. I'm just saying, I don't think he hits the ball hard enough. I don't think he hits enough homers. And I don't think he pulls the ball enough to be a first baseman.
Like,
I agree. But that's what I'm saying. If he can. Yeah, if he can pick up these struggles, if he can come back from all of these struggles and turns out to be a good baseball player, sure. If he could start hitting the ball hard, pulling the ball, putting her in the seats, sure. I'd be all for him going to first base. He's got to bulk up.
The issue with that, though, is if you wait too long to see if that'll happen, who knows? Hoskins' stock could only go down. Like, now might be the most you could get for him, right?
But what are you going to get for him right now?
Ding, maybe you get a center fielder or a number three pitcher? Maybe not a top 10 center fielder. I'm not asking for that. I'm just looking for one that's fucking competent. Like, that's all I'm looking for. I'm looking for a competent center fielder and maybe a number three pitcher. You know? Oh, we lost Dom. Hold on. Dom, you there?
Yeah. I'm here.
All right. There you go. We lost you for a second. yeah. All I'm looking for is really a competent center fielder or number three pitcher.
I don't think you'll get that.
You don't think you'll even get a number three pitcher for Reese Hoskins?
Who's a number three pitcher?
I'd have to think more on that. I'm
okay.
Not sure.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what you can get for him. I really don't, because he's a free agent in 3 or 4 years. So, and he's got Boris. Yeah, he's got Boris. He's not going to get paid if he continues to be a guy who's hot in only April and September. But I don't know. I think Boehm can move to first base eventually if he can figure out how to stop struggling or figure out how to pick it up again. Because last year he was clutch. Last year he had a lot of opposite field hits, and which for a third baseman or even a first baseman, you want him to pull the ball. But if he can't hit homers at third base, he definitely can't do it at first base. Because your first baseman is usually your worst fielder. You don't need him to be a good fielder, but you need him to hit 30 homers, 40 homers.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. All right.
So that's my only issue with him going to first base. If he could figure it out, then sure. I'm all for that.
And like you said earlier, they do have Bryson Stott down there. I know that completely shifts guard because he's not a third or a first, but whatever. But he did play in the or he is going to play in the MLB Futures game. So there's that. So hopefully that, you know.
Give him a
little bit of confidence. Maybe he'll come up, you know. Maybe, is there a chance we see him this year, you think? Or not?
This year? If maybe in September,
if things go south, maybe
in maybe out. In September,
give them 10 games or so.
Yeah, I think the if like you said, if they're totally out of it and they bring them up,
which could happen
September,
it could definitely happen.
Yeah, yeah, I'm kind of expecting it, but but I think they could bring them up in September and then next year start them in the minors and then bring them up in like May to do that like funky bullshit what they do with the contracts.
Right.
Where they only start they get an extra year on the contract.
Yep.
If they start them in May, but
yeah, it's service time and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So.
But it's good to see him represent the Phillies, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. He was the only one I met. Yeah.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so. And isn't he boys with Bryce Harper? Doesn't he room together? Aren't they roommates?
They're both from Vegas. Stott's known him for like 10 years.
Is he really? I didn't realize they'd known each other. But yeah, I think he's lived with Harper. So
yeah, they're spring training buddies.
All right.
And the good thing about him too is he's 23, 22. We got him out of college, so he's not a high school Mickey Moniak that's been in the system for 12 years and he's fucking only 20.
Well, yeah, they drafted him probably 2 or 3 years ago.
About 2 years ago.
Year before Boehm, I think, wasn't it?
I think it was the year after Boehm.
Year after Boehm, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. We can move on to the Eagles or football in general because there was big news out of the NCAA this week. College athletes are now allowed to make money off of likeness, you know, their person, you know. They're allowed to make money off of that finally. I don't know what's taken the NCAA this long to come up with this decision, but it's about time.
They had to figure out a way to make money off of it because they're making money off of it too. So, like, say hypothetically, you're a college. Go ahead.
They're selling tickets. Like, they're putting these games on networks that are paying them millions of money or millions of dollars. They're selling all these merchandise, jerseys, whatever. Like, they're making a shit ton of money. The schools and the NCAA.
No, for sure. I totally agree with that. They should be. You're saying they should have been paid the whole time, right?
By likeness, yeah. Like I know there's,
All I'm saying is,
all
I'm saying is that I think the colleges make even more money off of it now. Like they're gonna make money off of these guys making money. Like say hypothetically, say hypothetically,
are they getting cut?
What's up?
Are they getting a cut of it or something? What do you mean?
No. So say hypothetically, you're a basketball player at Duke, right? And you're the number one star coming out, and you make all this money off of likeness. You're going to get guys, you're going to get people that watch Duke even more. If you bring in the top recruit, these schools are going to get even more exposure.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. That makes sense. Like, it just never made sense that these guys can't, you know, go to a random, I don't know, bookstore or whatever and just go sign autographs for an hour and make a couple $1,000. Like, it just never made sense to me that they couldn't
do
that.
Yeah, I know. I agree. I agree.
Yeah, and NCAA football's coming out, I think, in a year or two. Finally, it's making its return. So I'm sure the players are allowed to be in that now. So maybe I'll see some players in there. So, you know.
I'm never a big college guy. I don't watch much college sports, but that's one of my favorite games of all time.
Obtén los precios más bajos de la temporada en Macy's y compra ofertas increíbles para que el otoño sea tu temporada. Como un 60% menos en aretes de diamantes para mejorar cualquier look. Cúbrete con un 50-65% menos en abrigos para toda la familia. Y un 40-75% en ropa de cama, baño y decoración, justo a tiempo para el clima frío. Además, descarga la app gratis de Macy's hoy por aún más de los precios más bajos de la temporada. Ahorro sobre precios regulares en oferta y liquidación. Aplican excepciones.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
NCAA football games?
Yeah.
They're phenomenal. Like, I think the last one was, what, 14, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's the last one, because if you go on, like, if you try to go online and buy it, it's, like, literally $150. Everybody just loves the game. It's like one of the best games.
yep.
$150 for a game that's been out for, what, 7 years?
I think the last one I have was 2012. I won two straight national championships with Western Kentucky University.
Put you in the Hall of Fame. That's what they should do.
Yep. I recruited hard as shit. You know, you bring in the best players around. You win with Western Kentucky University, baby.
That's it. What's their mascot? Do you know that? I don't
fucking know. Probably like a horse or some shit. I don't know.
A horse. Hold on, I'm gonna look it up.
I was looking up. You can go.
Western
Kentucky University.
Western Kentucky University. All right.
They're like red and white, I believe.
Hold on. Well, let me see here. Big red. I what the fuck is this? Hold on. It's just a red dude.
It's just a red guy.
It's just a red guy.
I gotta see this. Sorry. It's just a red dude.
His name's literally Big Red.
He's just a red monster.
They're called the Hilltoppers. The Western Kentucky Hilltoppers.
That's really fucking dumb.
It's literally just some red dude.
That's really fucking dumb.
That's hilarious.
Can anybody see that?
That's great.
Yep, just a red monster. It's actually uglier than Gritty.
Oh, that's great. All right. Here, let me see. Da-da-da. All right, so is there anything else with the college likeness thing, or is that all?
No, the only thing I'm going to say without getting into politics, it's good to have both sides of the aisle agree on something.
Right, for once.
Yeah.
Right, it doesn't happen often.
Not often.
Yeah. All right, we can officially move to Eagles here. Reports of Dallas Goedert and the Eagles are close to an extension, and I'll just follow up with the next part of news. Apparently, there's rumors or reports, and we've been hearing this for quite some time, that Zach Ertz is close to being traded to the Bills. This has been like literally a rumor for like the last month or two, so who knows what that happens, but yeah, there's interesting stuff out of the tight end room in Philly.
Yeah, and it's definitely crazy. Like, Merrill Reese had breaking news about it too. Like, I don't know if you saw that.
Has he ever broke news before? Maybe he has. I don't know. I just don't
remember. I don't know. I just thought he called Eagles games on the radio. Right. Exactly. But apparently he came out earlier in the week or last week and said that he had a source that said that they were close to dealing Zach Ertz to the Buffalo Bills.
I mean, you're Merrill Reese, right? The voice of the Eagles. You have, like, your source is good. Your source is good. You know what I mean?
Right. No, for sure. I mean, you know everybody in the building, so.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I actually saw him at a car dealership once.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I was sitting in the car, and he pulled up in like a Lincoln, like him and his wife or somebody got out of the car. They literally parked in the middle of the parking lot. He gets out, shuts the door, locks the car, and just walks in. Like he's got the biggest dick in the room. Like he just went, and like, I don't know. I was crazy. I just like, oh shit, that's Merrill Reese. Like,
yeah, that's wild.
And he just walked in and bought a car.
Yeah, what'd he buy?
I don't know. He had a Lincoln, though.
Okay. Yeah.
I left before he was done, but.
Right.
Yep.
And then, yeah. So, and then Dallas Goedert's close to an extension. That makes sense, right? Like, especially if Ertz is leaving, right? Like,
yeah.
Makes sense to lock him up.
So, let me ask you this about that real quick. Yeah. Say that they don't trade Ertz. Say they keep Ertz.
Mm-hmm.
And they extend Goedert.
Yeah.
What does that look like? Is Goedert your number one guy?
I would say so. I don't know if you necessarily have a one and a two. I think you just run a two tight end system, and they're just both on the field, and whoever's open, give them the ball. Like you're gonna see maybe a Patriots style offense where they have two tight ends.
And I know they have a new coach, but like we were supposed to see that the last 2-3 years.
Sure.
We didn't see the 12 personnel.
Well, yeah, because. I mean, Peterson was always just trying to be the smartest guy in the room, right? Like, it's just kind of what he was. So maybe that changes.
I just think and they re-signed Richard Rodgers, so
yep.
I don't know. I think they are trying hard to trade him, but I also don't think they're just going to give him away.
Right.
I think they either trade him or they're keeping. They're not cutting him, because if they were going to cut him, they would have already done it.
Yeah.
They would have already done it. They had to wait until June 1st, I think.
June 1st.
So if they were going to cut him, they would have already cut him. So he's either going to be here for another season, or he's going to be traded.
Yep.
So,
yeah, I think
that, I think if he doesn't get traded, it's going to be interesting to see how the offense is run.
Yeah, I really do think it'll be like a two tight end system,
and that'll suck for fantasy.
Why is that?
Because who do you say if you need a tight end in fantasy? Like who are you taking? Like if you had to pick between the two.
Between the two of them, I think with how bad, not bad, but like I don't know, with Ertz's season last year, I don't see how you could pick him over Goddard next year or this year.
Yeah, but Goddard's been hurt the last 3 years.
Yes, yeah, he's battled injuries, but. Like it just seems like Ertz has lost a step. Like he's just slow. Like he's never been a speedster, but he just looks like he lost a step. And whenever he catches the ball, he falls to the ground anyway. But
and he's got a lot of wear and tear.
Yeah, for sure.
When you catch the ball and fall, that's a lot of wear and tear on your knees.
That is a lot of wear and tear, right?
So
yeah, you're going down a lot.
So
that's probably more wear and tear than getting tackled on play.
Yeah, and he doesn't block. So
right,
but let me ask you this too. Really quick, we're probably not going to get much into like fantasy football, but another fantasy football question. I don't know if you've seen any of the stuff recently, but he's really low on the tight end list, Zach Ertz.
Okay.
Now, if he gets traded to Indianapolis or Buffalo or Jacksonville, wherever, do you see his stock rising? Like, would you take him?
I think. I wouldn't, but I think the most intriguing spot that you said was Indy, just because you have the Wentz connection and you know how much he loved going to Ertz. So I think that's a little intriguing, but I don't know because I've seen him here and it seems like he's lost a step. So I don't.
Yeah, but that could also be because he doesn't want to be here, especially last year.
He doesn't strike me as somebody who's going to dog it. He just doesn't.
I don't know. He did it early in his career.
He
played half ass.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but I don't know. Maybe it's just the lifelong Eagle, you know, in him or that I see in him. It always seemed like he wanted to be here. Right. Maybe not so much now because I don't even know what it stems to. Like, is it their mistreatment of Carson Wentz? Because I know they were real close. Like, what is the reason Zach Ertz wants to be traded? Like, does anybody know?
I don't know. And I tweeted earlier.
You did I'll find it?
Yeah. So. I think, not to get too much into fantasy football, but because of the position, I think I would take a shot on him. Because the position is so small, there's not many very good tight ends in the league. There's only six or seven that are worth taking to start.
I do have your tweet here. Ertz had a terrible year last year and wants out. Didn't publicly say he wants out. Sounds a lot like a recent situation involving a former Eagles quarterback, but no one gives Ertz any shit for wanting out. Makes total sense.
Yeah,
you're spot on.
Yeah, it's because of the position. He's a quarterback. Wentz is a quarterback. Didn't publicly come out and say that he wanted to leave. There were reports that he wanted to leave. He played like shit. I get it. But why are we giving shit to Wentz, but Ertz gets nothing?
Right.
And I'm a diehard Eagles fan. I love Ertz. I love Wentz. But how does it make sense?
I think there's one factor that you're not getting.
And one played in the Super Bowl and one didn't.
Well, not only that, but when you think of Wentz, you think of the direct comparison to Nick Foles. And people in the city absolutely love Nick Foles. So they think of it as a Wentz versus Foles. I'm taking Foles' side.
But that wasn't the case last year.
No, but I think people are still like since that whole thing happened. That's when people made up their mind.
It could be,
you know,
it could be.
That's just my opinion. I wanted to bring this up to you. I don't know if you saw. I added it to the notes. Maurice Jones-Drew, who works for the NFL doc, who works for NFL.com now, wrote a list of the top 25 running backs, and coming in at number 27. Miles Sanders. What do you think of that? Is he the 27th best running back in the league?
I think talent-wise, no. But he hasn't stayed healthy in the NFL.
Real quick, I'll hammer these out real quick. I'll do 1 through 10 quick because there's probably no discussion there.
Okay.
1, Derrick Henry, McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, Dalvin Cook, Nick Chubb, Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley, Aaron Jones, Joe Mixon, Josh Jacobs. No complaints there.
Probably not. No.
Okay.
But I also think. Go ahead.
11 through 15. Jonathan Taylor, J.K. Dobbins, David Montgomery, Cam Akers, Austin Eckler.
See, I think Sanders is that 10, 9, 10, 11 range.
Okay.
I think he's better than maybe Jonathan Taylor might be better, but he's a rookie last year, so right. You know.
That's why
I think Sanders would be above him, you know, ahead of him. But at the end of this year coming up, I think Jonathan Taylor could be a top 5 running back.
Yeah, I'll read 16 through 20. Najee Harris, who hasn't played a single snap in the NFL yet. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, James Robinson, Chris Carson, Antonio Gibson.
See, I think Gibson's really low, but he was hurt last year.
He was.
I think Harris is going to be great. I think Sanders is better than all of them.
Okay. And then I'll
maybe not Robinson and Gibson are kind of in that same...
Robinson was great last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Robinson and Gibson are with Sanders in that 11-12
right
range.
All right, then I'll read 21 through 26, I think it is. Leonard Fournette, DeAndre Swift, Mike Davis, Melvin Gordon, Raheem Mostert, Chase Edmonds, and then
9.7
Miles Sanders.
Stop.
Yeah.
No, that's just not fair. That's just for attention. It really is. That's the problem with sports is, like, talking sports, especially in the national media, is that, like, it's all hot takes. That's what it is. There's no real discussion. There's no real facts. There's no stats. There's just hot takes.
Right.
And then you got to explain your hot take.
Yep.
To me, Miles Sanders should – and I'm a little harsh on the guy. I'm not going to lie. But I think Sanders is definitely around that 9 to 12 or 15 range.
Right.
Or not me, not 15, 9 to 12 range. There was another name you said in there that I thought was really – Swift.
DeAndre Swift.
I think Swift should be in that range too, the 9 to 13.
Right. He's number 22 on this list.
I think he's better than Gibson and Robinson.
Right.
So, yeah, that's crazy. I think it's just for attention, honestly. I think he knows he's going to get a reaction out of Philadelphia, and that's why he did it, to get a reaction out of Philadelphia, start the hot take, and start the bullshit.
I also think it's insane to have Mike Davis, and he did good things while Christian McCaffrey went down, but, like, it's insane to have Mike Davis ahead.
And
of
Melvin Gordon hasn't been good in 5 years.
Right.
He lost both his knees.
Right. And Chase Edmonds is their backup running back in Arizona.
Yeah.
Their backup running back. And I mean, I'll give Mostert something. He's been hurt the last couple of years, but he's
not better than Sanders.
He's not better than Sanders, no. But I think it's close where I can maybe say, all right, fine. But some of these, Leonard Fournette, he had a little bit of a resurgence with Tampa, but you can't tell me he's better than
not at all
than Sanders at this point in his career. You just can't.
Not at all. Not at all.
Right. So. All right. Anything else Eagles wise before we move on to my favorite segment?
Yeah. I mean, just real quick, Miles Sanders, we talked about it earlier or a couple weeks ago. He led the league in like 50 plus yard touchdowns in the last like 2 years.
Right.
So I just think it's for attention, but that's, sure. That's about it.
All right. Well, we could move on to my favorite segment here. The trivia. Let's just get
the trivia.
Let's just pull the band, you know, rip the band-aid off. That's fine.
All right.
We don't have many people watching right now, so maybe nobody even hear me fuck this up. So let's go. Come
so on. We do this every week. I said, if you're listening to the podcast, you know, just give it a pause. If you're watching, it's gonna be kind of tough to do that, but you know, yeah. pause it, listen to the question, pause it, answer it, and then hit the play button. So we got two Flyers, two Phillies, and an Eagles.
I'm shooting 33% right now, by the way.
Yeah, that's not good.
33% is not good.
No. That's right, Ben Simmons' numbers.
So sorry. What,
actually, he's probably worse. He's probably in the 20s, but...
Yeah, seriously. So what do you have?
We got two Flyers,
yep.
We got two Phillies, and we've got an Eagles.
All right, give me the Eagles first.
Okay. So...
Is there any sort of theme here?
No.
Okay.
Nope. I'm not going to lie. Some of these are actually, the two Phillies are kind of hard.
Okay. That's fine.
All right. So the Eagles question, which Eagle set a team receiving record with 1,409 yards in one season?
1,000 and how much?
1,409.
So it probably wasn't anybody in the older days, just because they weren't like pass happy. So I'm going to say probably somebody more recent, but they also haven't really had many receipts. I'm going to go DeSean Jackson.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Incorrect.
Fuck.
Surprisingly, it is somebody from the old days.
Is it really?
Yep.
I was going to go like Carmichael.
It's Mike Quick.
Quick. Okay.
Yeah, and I was really surprised.
Yes, from the old. Yeah. Okay.
I was really surprised by the fact that it was Mike Quick for that reason that you just said.
Yeah.
They were run happy.
Right. Exactly. That's surprising.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
All right, you want to go Phillies or Flyers?
Phillies, give me Phillies. I'm only going to end Flyers, but like, I hope there's a better chance I get those right. And
okay.
On a good note. So let's go Phillies. Because you said they're hard, so I'm probably going to go with these. All
right, yeah. Go. You want the harder one of the two?
Sure.
Fuck okay. Yeah. All right. Cole Hamels was traded this month in 2015, along with Jake Diekman. The Phillies received six players back from the Rangers. Can you name two of the six? You were about to say no.
I still might say no. I mean, two of the six that they got from the Rangers in 2015.
I will say none of these guys are on the team anymore.
I didn't think they would be.
But one, two, three, four, five of, or I'm sorry, all six did play in the majors.
They did it for the Phillies.
For the Phillies.
They played in the majors
at one point for the Phillies.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
Welcome to America, the land of junk sleep, where it's bedtime, but you're double booked. Here, there's always one more deadline to meet, episode to watch, or meme to share. The world may not want you to sleep, but we do. Only the sleep experts at Mattress Firm can help you find the right bed at the right price. Unjunk your sleep. In-store or online at mattressfirm.com today.
I have no idea. Like, I'm.
Guess what? This question is so hard. I'm actually not gonna put it.
You're not gonna break this against me?
Against you. Yeah.
Okay. Who is it?
The only reason I put it was because we were crunching on time. So I needed to get a question in there.
That's bullshit. That's an unfair question.
Okay. So Jake Thompson.
Okay.
Nick Williams.
Okay. Like, sure.
Jared Eichhoff.
You're a jerk off for that.
Alec Asher.
I don't know who that is.
He was a bullpen guy.
Okay, go ahead.
Matt Harrison, who's also a bullpen guy.
Okay.
And Jorge Alfaro.
Okay.
At the time...
I maybe would have got Alfaro eventually for rattling names off, but... Yeah, okay.
At the time, this was a great trade.
Yeah.
Because they were all prospects.
Yeah. That's why prospects are bullshit.
Yep. Okay, so now we've got the other Phillies. The Phillies opened the 2015 season off with an 8-0 loss to the Boston Red Sox.
I'm sorry. Repeat that.
Okay, so the Phillies opened the 2015 season off with an 8-0 loss to the Boston Red Sox at Citizens Bank Park. Can you name five of the eight position players in the lineup on opening day?
In 2015?
Yeah, I don't know what the theme with 2015 is.
2015. So since you said 15, I'm gonna say Alfaro was one of them.
No.
I mean, that was just a guess.
So Hamels got traded at the deadline in 2015. So he wasn't on the team yet.
I don't even remember that. Cameron Rupp, is he one?
No.
I have no fucking clue.
Do you give up?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so we got
15 might be like that era might be the worst in Phillies history. Like
now you know all eight of these guys.
I'm sure I do. Yeah,
Revere, Herrera, Utley, Howard.
You're in 15. Howard's still here in 15.
Ruiz.
Okay, I'm a jerk off.
Grady Sizemore.
I forgot he was a Philly.
Cody Ashe.
Also forgot he was a Philly.
And Freddie Galvis.
Okay.
So these are really hard Phillies questions, but I had nothing else.
Yeah, that's fine. Keep going. You're a jerk off. Keep going.
All right, so the two Flyers. Let's see. So in the 2016-2017 season, there were six Americans on the Flyers roster. Can you name four?
Four of six Americans in what year?
16-17.
Jesus Christ. So JVR was not here.
Correct.
God damn, this is harder than I thought. Because I rarely look at, like, nationalities with these players.
Right. I'm going to have more time next week, so we're not going to get this hard.
Okay, yeah, I was going to say, I'm gonna go 0 for 5 here. I don't even know if I can get one. I'm sure once you read them. No, Shen was Italian. Or not Italian, Jesus Christ, Canadian.
Can you name two?
I'm sure if I sat here long enough, but we're already 53 minutes. Was Steve Mason?
He was not on the roster.
He wasn't on the roster?
Or he might have been Canadian.
He's probably Canadian. I move on because we only got so much time.
Okay, so we got Ghost, Vecchione?
Oh, Vecchione.
Vecchione. Yeah.
Right.
Vandevelde. Stolarz. Colin McDonald. And Sean Couturier, who is half Canadian, half
I forgot about
American.
Kuz was born in, like, Arizona.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, like, half of those guys were, like, minor league players that played maybe, like,
right.
Two.
Right. Guess what? I won't even hold that one against you either because that was a really tough one, too. But, Here's a little easier one. Like I said, in the future, we're gonna get a little easier here, but
yeah.
Okay, so the Flyers won back-to-back Stanley Cups in 74 and 75. Who were the two players who scored the game-winning goals in the finals for the Flyers? So who won the game win? Who had the game-winning goal in 74 and the game-winning goal in 75?
I feel like I should know this.
Probably. I mean, I didn't know it, but
game-winning goal.
Your dad's gonna be real upset if you don't get this.
He's gonna be real pissed. Who did they beat in the first one? Boston, right? Boston and then Buffalo, I think it was.
Correct.
And you would pick a question. Like, I wasn't even born yet, but it was a Stanley Cup game.
Neither was I.
I feel like I should know this, and I'm gonna just stall, acting like I think I know what I'm talking about. God, now I know why nobody listens to this. This whole segment is gonna get shut down. I have no idea. Clark. I have no idea. Was Clark
no.
one?
No.
Okay.
Do you want me to give it to you?
Sure.
So the 74 was McLeish.
Okay.
And 75 was Bob Kelly.
Okay. I mean, I could have started rattling names off and I would have got to those guys eventually, I'm sure. But
yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
But like I said, we'll ease back a little bit.
Okay.
So but I just had such a busy day. I didn't have much time to come up with trivia until about 5 minutes before.
It's fine. It's totally fine. All right. So I don't want to go too in-depth with the Sixers. There's really not much here. But reports are the Sixers declined a deal from the Indiana Pacers. The deal was supposedly Malcolm Brogdon and a first-round pick for Ben Simmons. And apparently Chris LeVert, is that his name?
Yep.
Was also a part of the deal. So deal about? I'm not real tapped in with the NBA, so I don't know these guys really on a big level. So
Real quick, LeVert is a very good player. Brogdon's a good player. The first-round pick is for next year, I believe. That was the report. First, it was Brogdon and a first-round pick, and later it came out that LeVert might have been a part of the deal. It's a fantastic starting point. It's not what you want. It's not Lillard or Beal or any of these guys, but it's a fantastic starting point. if that's the best offer they can get, I'll take it. But that's only if they are absolutely not going to get Lillard or Beal or a star.
Right.
Brogdon's a great shooter. LeVert's a good player. Yeah, so I think it's a great starting point.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm curious to see how motivated they are to move him.
Yep.
Because, I mean, you'll see. If they really don't want to move him, but they're just waiting until the perfect offer, like, it'll go further and further into the summer. But if they just want to get this done now and they just want to get rid of him, you'll see it done within probably the next, like, couple weeks.
Right.
So, but before the draft, when is the draft? The draft's probably like mid-July, I'd imagine.
It's the same week as the NHL draft, which is the 20th.
The 23rd is the NHL draft, I believe.
Okay, so then it's probably it's around there.
We're around the same time?
Yeah. It's usually the night before the NHL draft. It's usually...
Did the finals start yet? They didn't start yet, did they?
The finals? No.
When's game one?
I should probably know this.
Who is it? Suns,
Bucks.
Bucks, that's who it
is. Starts tomorrow.
Starts tomorrow.
Game one's tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Well, that's fun. Anything else Sixers? Well, there's really not much else to talk about Sixers until things are happening with the offseason and Simmons, and it's all speculation at this point.
Right.
And right now, the kind of transition is perfectly. There's almost like a line brawl going on in this Canadians Lightning game. So it's good. Game four, the Lightning are up 3-0 in the series. The game is tied right now, 1-1, I believe. They're just outmatched. Like, that's all there is to it. The Canadians are just outmatched. The Lightning are just a better team, just all around, up and down the lineup.
They're $18 million over the cap.
Yeah, it's David. Yeah. Like, that's just what it is.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say, like, Tampa's still super talented, and I'm not going to say that this is, like, their last kind of run at the cup because they still have a ton of talent, but that, like, the roster is going to have to change because, like you mentioned, they're a ton over the cap, so they're going to have to get rid of guys, Goudreau and
good guys,
Barkley Goudreau and Blake Coleman, two of the big guys they got in the deadline a couple years ago. They're free agents. There's no way they can resign those guys, and that's like a critical part of their second or third line. So we'll see what happens with them in the offseason, but they're just a juggernaut. Like, it's just a beast going up against like a team that nobody really expected to be here. Everybody picked Toronto against them in round one. Everybody picked, who do they play in round two? Everybody picked Winnipeg in round two. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people in Winnipeg in round two. Everybody picked Vegas to win in round three. Like, they've just been the underdog. Like, it reminds me a little bit of the Eagles run in 2017. Like nobody expected them to be here.
Yeah, so. For sure. Yep.
All right. We'll see what happens. I mean, if it doesn't end tonight, which, again, big possibility, if it doesn't end tonight, it'll end soon. Tampa's going to win. Like,
when's the next game after this? Third or Wednesday?
Probably, what's today? Monday? Probably Wednesday is my guess.
Okay, so then, yeah, it probably won't go past Wednesday.
Right. And Wednesday's in Toronto, in Tampa.
Right.
If it does go then, you know, to that game, it is Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday at 8 o'clock.
So are fans allowed in Montreal?
They claim they're still only allowing 3,500. If you ask me, the place looked more crowded than it has in the last round.
Yeah.
It just did. So I don't know if they're kind of...
I do know that they were allowed to have family and stuff, like...
Were they?
The last couple of rounds.
I think the Canadians probably were, but apparently...
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, because Tampa, they still haven't allowed their families to come. Like, if they won the cup tonight in Montreal, their family can't be there.
Right. Okay. That kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I did see Carey Price's wife. I guess it was when they beat the Islanders. Were they beat them in seven?
They did beat the Islanders. Yeah, they beat the Islanders.
Won in overtime, right?
Montreal.
Not Montreal. Yeah. Montreal beat Vegas in overtime, right?
Yeah, sorry.
Not the Islanders. I'm sorry. I meant to say Vegas.
Tampa beat.
Right. So Montreal beats Vegas in overtime in game.
Was that game six?
It might have been game six or seven, whatever it was. They beat them. They beat them.
That series did go seven. Yeah.
Yeah. They beat them in overtime, right?
Right. I believe so.
So
games went in overtime. I don't remember if it was game seven.
Yeah. Whatever the game clinching game it was. To get to the finals, I saw the video of Carey Price's.
Yeah, okay, I thought it was. It was game six in overtime. Yeah.
Okay, so game six, overtime. I saw the reaction of Carey Price's wife. She was in the stands. She's holding their baby. And, like, you know, unexpectedly, because in overtime you have to win with a goal. Right. Unexpectedly, like, celebrating the goal in overtime. So that was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, Carey Price is a cool story. Just because, like, he's kind of the guy he's considered one of the greatest goalies. Like maybe top 10, top 5, whatever. And one of the greatest of this era, kind of. And he's got the gold medal. And the one thing he does, he's got the Veznas. The one thing he doesn't have is a Stanley Cup.
The Cup.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens there. It's unlikely at this point, but 11 minutes left in the third, tie game. This game could be going overtime. So after we're done with this, you know, this right here, maybe I'll have an overtime game to watch. I got to get up for work in the morning at like 5:30. So
yeah,
wish me luck.
No thanks for me. I'll pass on that. it's once this ends, we're just going to have more hockey in a couple weeks anyway, you know.
Absolutely.
It just doesn't.
Right. With
the off season. Right. Yep.
There's really not much to talk about with that yet. With the expansion draft coming up in a couple weeks, I think the lists have to be due. What? The 17th, I think.
July 17th, yep.
July 17th. So we'll have to talk about that when that happens. Some things might affect the Flyers with this whole Dave Hakstol news of him getting hired by Seattle. We haven't talked about that. Montreal just scored to make it 2-1. So maybe we won't have overtime.
There's
still a lot of time left. But with Dave Hakstol, former Flyers coach, getting hired by Seattle, that was kind of unexpected, to say the least.
Yeah, yeah, you know, for sure.
Kind of a failure here. Did you have any takeaway with that before we get out of here?
I was definitely surprised. I really thought they were going to hire what's his face?
Tarian?
Tockett. That's what it was. Yeah, Tockett
was a big one.
Yeah, I saw something that he interviewed like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, he did. Three times.
Yeah, which it's kind of fucked up.
Anytime you get 3 interviews, like, you're basically a lock, right? Like,
for any job in any world, in the world. Yeah. So, yeah, it's definitely a little strange, but I thought he was for sure going to be the guy, and you know, it sucks because I was going to jump on the Kraken bandwagon, and now I don't know if I can.
I'm still going. Like, the logo's sharp, the jerseys are sick as hell, and like, I'm gonna root for them a little bit, you know, because I don't like Hakstol's going to be there in 2 or 3 years. He's gone, so that's fine.
Or maybe he figures it out.
Yeah, like that's the thing. Everybody was. You know, crucifying Seattle for making this decision. Like, maybe something stuck out in the interview or something that he did in Toronto where he was the assistant coach of. Maybe something stuck out to them as him improving in something. And maybe he does improve. You know what I mean? Like, maybe he does get better next year.
Yeah, and let's also not forget about the idea of off the ice as well. I'm sure he's a super nice guy too, which also helps, you know?
Right.
So, you know, absolutely. not only do you have to be good as a coach on the ice, but you also have to be a genuine guy. So,
right.
You know, obviously there's something there.
Absolutely. All right, anything else before we get out of here?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, again, if anybody wants out there, you can check us out, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, anywhere at Fired Up Podcast. We're there. And until next week. We will see you guys then.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.